Come on and get it, honey, while the getting's good, good, good.
Hello and welcome to Unapologetically Judith Owen. This is the podcast from Judith Owen. Hi, Judith Owen.
Hello, BB.
And me, BB Lynch. Now, Judith, I'm not suggesting I'm obsessed with you or even a little in love. I mean, let's let the lawyers decide. But I have been watching, reading, listening to all your interviews about your latest incredible album, Come On and Get It. And what comes across loud and clear is the album is, yes, of course, a beautiful homage to and a celebration of the unsung, brilliantly talented women of 40s and 50s jazz and blues. But it's also a celebration of how badass they were, their attitude, how unapologetic they were, and how powerful being unapologetic is. And that's what this series is talking about.
You still weren't put off by all my hideous,
I told you,
visualizations. My little mime.
I shut the camera down. I'm not having it. You know, we were chatting about how these Come On and Get It women kind of laughed in the smooth face of ageism, just going, no, I can do this. I can do whatever I want at any age. And I was thinking about it after, and I was thinking, isn't it, and I don't mean this in a patronizing way, but younger women kind of need to know this exists. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't all stop.
For me, there aren't enough role models out there. There aren't enough women, grown up, mature women who are out there showing young women just starting out who aren't, you know, haven't evolved yet or haven't formed that, you know, showing them a roadmap, showing them that there is a way that you can be, something to aspire to. The way when I heard these women, when I saw these women, that's what I knew I wanted to be. I knew already, you know, right from the start that that was exactly the roadmap that I was going on as a person. And it took me my whole life, but where are those women now? That's my point. It's like, do we want to really be a group of women who are just trying to look younger and act younger rather than being incredibly powerful, strong role models who are defying everything that we've been told and are being sexy and confident and marvelous and in control and powerful and gorgeous? I mean, isn't that what we should be showing?
That is
showing?
Totally what we, yeah. I never saw my mum get old. So I never had that. I can't think of one female role model when I was younger who was someone I would kind of go, oh my God, she's an older, brilliant, cool, vibrant, relevant woman that I know exists, therefore I can be that. I didn't have, the fear wasn't taken away because I never had an example of it.
I didn't see my mother get old either. And that's what you and I have in common. We didn't see our mothers become beautiful grown-up women. We didn't get to see that. I believe that this is a large piece of the puzzle that is missing women and for society is to see. I mean, we have it in the extreme version, and that's why I look to these women as my role models, because I didn't have those women around me at all, not since I was, you know, a young woman in my teens. So they filled that space. And we need women to look to. We need these powerhouse women to look up to and think, I can do this. I can be that. I can go there. That's who I want to be. That's the roadmap. I know what I can do and what I can achieve. I'm doing this for women of all ages because I've felt, you know, I've struggled my whole life, as most of us do, to reach the potential, to try and be the woman that I always wanted to be the woman my mother never got to be, to have the life that she never got to have and that I so desperately wanted for both of us. We have compromised ourselves so much. Women have compromised ourselves by buying into so much stuff that is really not our friend, not good for us. And it's time, I hope, to, again, not just be each other's allies, but to be able to say to other women, you don't need to do that. We shouldn't be doing this. We are lessening ourselves and we are kind of, we are running after something, you know, trying to be young again is not the answer. What we should be doing is saying, God, am I relieved that I have the experience and the life that I have? Because when people say to me, oh God, don't you wish you were young again? I'm like, oh no, 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 no. I love who I am now. I love the and I'm constantly struggling to do these things and to live by the stuff that I'm saying. Believe me, it's not like it's just I've worked it out and it's all fantastic. I'm still having to work at this. We all have to. But I would never go back to me as a young woman. It was painful and it was fabulous too, but it was awful. I had an awful young years. It was terrible. I was just off the rails completely. I like the person I am now who has the courage to not give a shit and who gets to be fearless and to appreciate myself. I like it.
And that is a gift on two counts, isn't it? A, that we have got older and that we have that, again, not in a patronizing way, but, you know, that we are able to kind of maybe inspire young women. Oh my God, does that sound totally wanky? But do you know what I mean? And I think that's, I love that. I'm surrounded by young women and I love them. I get stuff from them, I get energy from them, and I get knowledge from them. And I hope that I give them, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I, you know, I hope that I'm representing something positive to them. What I love, Judith, is the Lady J look, okay? And I think there is something important. There's many things important about the look. Describe the look. First of all, describe the look.
Now, why am I calling myself Lady J? That's something that Brits can't stand. You know, it's sort of like, what, you'd call yourself another name? What's going on? Are you, as my MD, my musical director, describes me as being a great bunch of dads. Because I have many personalities. We do know that I literally have like multiple personality syndrome. We know this. Or is it just an overactive imagination and a theatricality, darling, that just courses through my veins? Either way, Lady J was named by my fabulous trumpet player, Kevin Lewis's mother, on the first gig I ever did. And it makes sense completely. The Lady J look is something absolutely that of my own creation, my invention. It is personal and it is nature, nurture. It's my mother, because my mother never left the house without putting, as you see here right now, forget makeup or the rest of your face. Just put on some red lipstick before you go out. It's a very European French thing, but you know, it just brightens up your face. It's something so glamorous about it. And that was one of my earliest memories of my mother. She would, and literally always before leaving the house, red lipstick, gorgeous. And I would be just like, oh, you're so beautiful. So there was that. And also I'm a film buff. I'm a black and white film movie buff, thanks to my mother. And so the look I was going for was something of Marlene Dietrich and the cross-dressing, the gender bending. Woman in a suit, because I've been obsessed with suits ever since I was a kid and saw my grandfather in his three-piece suit going to church. And I was like, oh, I love that. And so, and then also Gilda, Rita Hayworth in this film called Gilda, where she's just singing Put the Blame on Mame, and it's just extraordinary. It's just so dynamic. And that's where the big red hair comes from, of course. And I happen to be a redhead, so that works nicely. It's also got Katharine Hepburn in there, again, that gender-bending love of men's suits. And it's always like the very female lush hair with the suit, the suiting, which kind of does that thing of, I am, you know, as we all are, male, female, there's something so sexy about it and so powerful. And it was a time, of course, for women where getting in a suit was basically, I want the power that those men have. That's the power I want. But you know, you could also glam up in one of those gowns, as I have done both things, and feel utterly like in heaven. It's a look that speaks of the 40s and 50s. It's a persona that comes through the minute that I put the hair on, the minute I put the suit on, the minute I put the high heels. I've got my swagger stick. I've got the lips. The second it's all there. I've got the tie. I have to wear a tie. But the minute she's on, I'm that's who I am. I mean, it is me, but it is the most genuinely big and theatrical me. And as with most things, when you put a costume on, and this is a big part of, I believe, this is a big key to finding one's I don't give a shitness in life. The minute that you wear some armor, the minute that you put a costume on, the minute that you change the way you look and morph into something else is the minute that you can become fearless and quite brave, because it's not you anymore, is it? You know, it's the reason why so many rock stars take drugs and drink, because they actually are kind of boring and bored with themselves and they want to disappear into someone else. That's something we all feel is like, I'm just too boring. I'm just not enough. I'm like they're going to, the imposter syndrome is very huge in all of us, as we know. You just have, you don't have to be an artist to know what that feels. It's like people are going to find out who I really am and I'm just dull. So you do things to detract from that. And I'd rather go the healthy way and actually dress up. And I have to say, it happens every single time. The minute she's on, the minute I call her she, but you know, the minute Lady J is done up, that's it. And yeah, I'm fearless. I'm fearless on stage. I'm fearless in every aspect. And I wish I'd done this a long time ago. I wish I had done what an awful lot of artists do, which is to have that alter ego, which is to dress in a completely opposite, or rather an exaggerated form of themselves, so that you have something to be protected by. You know, it's a silly thing to say, but we all do things. Some people it's makeup, some people it's clothes, some people it's the car you drive, some people, you know, it's the art you buy. It doesn't matter. We all use things that make us feel safer, more confident, that put a little bit of a wall between us and, you know, so that we can, that we protect ourselves, protect our little sensitive
selves. And the difference is that profound that you wish you'd done it before?
Well, because I've always been a singer-songwriter at the piano, and I've always been big, you know, and I've always been a certain level of fearlessness. I have to say, like I said, judgmental has always, I stepped in, you know, and been self-critiquing as I've been going along. You know, was that good? Was that bad? Oh, that was a bum that. Well, there was a bum this. And, you know, oh God, do they like me? And am I doing well? You know, all the stuff that people feel in life, it happens on stage too. It's the same thing. But when I've got her, you know, when I'm dressed up, when I'm in this guise, I don't give a shit about me. And I feel that it's kind of like, I'm not singing my deep, sensitive music. I mean, I do, and I get back to that. And there are places that I get to the piano and I play and I do that. And then I release that person and show that person. But when I get up and sing these songs, these ridiculously joyful, fabulously fun, dance yourself into a frenzy songs, I'm there to entertain. I'm there to take the stage by force. I don't leave anything on stage. I'm there to make that audience hit high and feel elated and joyful and be transported. That's my job. And I do that again by demonstration. I'm doing that and the audience are coming with me. So it's a very different thing that I'm doing with this music, because it was written, it was created. This music is created to bring joy. And what I used to do, and I still do it, of course, but what I've been doing up until this point, or, you know, the prior albums, is to be very introspective, to be exposing my deeper self. So I've been literally going, bleh, you know, I've been sort of vomiting up my emotional, you know, innards. And it's beautiful and it's gorgeous and it's who I am. And I love doing it and I will always do it. But this has given me the freedom in music and in personality and in visual, and to get out from behind the piano and stand up and be that front person, this has given me permission to be the most fearless badass that I can possibly be. And it doesn't matter what I say about what subject, and all sorts of things come out of my mouth, as we all know. The audience are with me. They're with me. They want it. They love it, because they're on the joy ride with me. You know, I'm an actress too. You know, that's another part of this. I started out, it was always music, but I trained as an actress and a dancer. And so all of this came together in the most extraordinary way, so that finally I could just come out. I could literally come out, be that person on stage. But to me, it's a metaphor of my life. And for many of our lives, for women in general, about reaching that point where they've got the self-confidence and the experience to be able to explode and do whatever they want. And I'm all for it. I'm all over that. And who would have thought that New Orleans was the key to it, by the way? Who would have thought that?
Well, you, again, thank you for the invite to New Orleans. Because when you talk about it, it sounds so joyful and joyous. And you've said before, it's kind of like it gives you permission to dress up, because it's looking for any excuse to dress up.
Any excuse. And I was just at a Halloween party that you don't just turn up like with, like, you know, an axe in your head or something, with one of those clip-on axes. You know, you don't just rock up looking just like you've bought it from a shop. That's sad. It's pitiful. In New Orleans, where people, it's pitiful. It's a city built on feast and famine, on plague and party, literally. It's for the, since the beginning of it being created, it's been yellow fever or celebration. You know, that's really what it's about. It's a place that is Catholic and French and voodoo, and everything about it is full on, as you said, any excuse for a celebration, but take it very, very seriously. You know, Mardi Gras is an example of this. People spend a year. The minute Mardi Gras is over, they start creating the next costume, the next float, the next thing for the following year. And it's very seriously done, but the outcome is such fun. It's the sense of humor, the satirical nature, the joy, the desire to be, you know, whatever's gone wrong in the city, which is huge every single year, of course, that's going to come out in Mardi Gras and be laughed at and is going to entertain. I mean, it's like literally you see, you know, politicians are crucified every single year. It's fantastic. God forbid if if something sports-wise happened, that's going to be a whole theme there again. But people really are serious about their creativity. And that's something I've never seen anywhere else. I've never seen this level of creativity where an entire city is putting on party that, by the way, no one's underwriting it. There's no advertising. No one's paying for this. The city pays for it. People pay for it themselves. A Halloween party I just went to. I went as grown up. It was a Brothers Grimm, but it was the lesser known Brothers Grimm. Even harder. Phil and Grant. No, darling. We'll get to that in a minute. That's wait. Hold back on that. They're coming out. Let's hope not. So I went as grown-up Red Riding Hood, dressed in a Victorian riding gear, crop.
I saw the pictures, sweetheart.
Massive stuff going for the. You saw, yeah, you did. Yeah, that was pretty wild. But the great twist, and I did, you know, and I was like, this is like, you have to really commit to this and think about it, was the My Giant Basket with the wolf's head hanging out with it, with blood dripping out of his mouth, with the grandmother's hat on, cap on. So that's what I mean. You can't just turn up with a nail through your finger. You have to, or some fangs from the corner shop. You have to really fucking commit here and do it. And so this city loves a good dress up. And here's the thing, Bibi Lynch, that I think about dressing up and why this city has liberated me and taken the stick out of my good British ass. Oh, figuratively, metaphorically, by the way. This entire city revolves around the dress up box. When you're a kid, when I was a kid, you dressed up, you wore the tablecloth and it was a cape. You would march around the house with a stick and it was your, whatever, the sort, you know, that's what children do. That's what we do best, is make-believe and fantasy. And we use our imaginations. Now, these days you can do that with, you know, you can do a Comic Con and all the sort of, you know, sci-fi con and all that stuff. But if you're not that kind of person, and if you're not into, you know, dating a plushie, maybe I'm just saying we should actually be giving ourselves permission to have those costume parties and to get creative with dressing up and experimenting in the way that we did as children. I think we cut ourselves off from our childhood, from our child place so much. I mean, I feel like I'm a 14-year-old, sometimes a 14-year-old boy is how I see myself, because I was such a tomboy. It's like I relate to that more somehow. I always feel like I sound like that. But inside me, I'm about 14 and I really do feel that way. And I have that kind of, that is me. And I think I'm so fortunate to live in a place that encourages that side of me that, you know, I mean, I remember somebody saying, I knew I loved New Orleans. So I came, you know, came to stay for the weekend. I walked out the hotel and there was a man dressed as a giant tomato walking down the street. And it's like, That's right. You know, I was like driving around the corner the other day and a man was walking his ferret. And I said, is that a weasel? And he went, no, it's a ferret. And I made some joke about don't put it down your trousers then. And he wasn't British, so he didn't get it. That was fell.
Didn't land. Flat, didn't land.
Let me tell you. So, Bibi, you and I grew up, I know we did, with keep your best.
Sunday best.
Sunday best. You know, keep your best clothes. Sunday best, but darling. And it comes from people who haven't had a lot of money. You don't have money and you keep everything special. It's just got the best day. But then I have that still. I've had it most of my life where I buy these extraordinary clothes, get these gorgeous things, never wear them. Keeping them for what?
For what?
For what? For what? For when I'm dead. What? So it's like that mentality has to end. If you buy something and it's gorgeous and you're in love with it and it's great, wear it now. This is not a rehearsal. This isn't a rehearsal. None of this is. So that's my point. It's like, enjoy it.
I love that point. Enjoy and it. I'm going to embrace that. And I'm nervous that we're sounding like we're at the end of our days. We're not. This is just us kind of going, there's so much brilliant stuff now and future, and embrace it now.
You and I, we're in agreement that the unexpected has happened, which is suddenly we're having a great time of our life, as in we're feeling like we're confident we've arrived.
Who knew?
We're still struggling. Everybody always does. You just do. But it's sort of like that amazing thing where you suddenly think, God, I'm actually feeling better than I've ever felt in my life. And I'm enjoying being this person. And I didn't expect this. And good grief, all these years of thinking this other way. And it's sort of, we sound like we're sort of like talking from the pulpit here, but it's just that sense of surprise and shock that you have these feelings. And this is something that I'm hearing from a lot of women who are amazed and so grateful and so thrilled that here at this time of their lives, when they've been told, ugh, the door, you know, this is, thank you, goodbye, you're over 40. This is, suddenly they're like blossoming and realizing that they can be and who do and, you know, live however they want. It's amazing.
Amen. I remember you saying to me, it just made me laugh so much about the adult fun of dressing up. And it wasn't in a saucy way, Judith Owen, but that kind of, what were you saying? Where were you? There was some kind of flirting going on because people were in that mode. And what did you mean dating a plushie, for God's sake? Speak English, woman.
Oh, no. You got these, there are these conventions. It's like, you know, you have a Comic-Con and rom-coms and all those kind of things. And there's also a plushie-com. Look that up. We'll talk about that afterwards. I'll break it to you in a gentler way. But, you know, people dress up Halloween. That's for kids. Again, it's mostly kids and sometimes the parents do and there's parties. But, you know, here there's sort of like, I can go out dressed in a wig a day. You know, I got round the corner from me is an amazing place called Fifi Mahoney's, where I just go in just to wig up, right, and get my wig off. It's one of those things where most people, I take, every time I get somebody here visiting, especially from Britain, I'm like, we're going to Fifi Mahoney's and then we're going to Fleur de Paris, the most beautiful hat shop you've ever seen in your entire life. And it's amazing how self-conscious of people are about putting a wig on, wearing a hat. We had that conversation about, you know, you're not a hat person. I bet you damn well are. I'll get you the hat that will work. The minute you put, and I've seen it happen every time. So I take my friends and they get the wig on and suddenly it's like transformation, the joy. And you're in a city that nobody's judging you. You know, if you rocked down this, you know, if you're rocking your way down Holland Park Avenue and wearing some, you know, ridiculous psychedelic thing, you know, you would not be, you know, you'd be stared at and probably belittled. But here it's just kind of like, yeah, go. This is great. I love your hair. That's you. That's usually what you get. Every time I go out wearing something ridiculous, I get love your hair. Love your hat. So really interesting difference between us as people. Because I, you know, I'm a Brit and I live in Britain and I live here. But it's so extraordinary that if I'm going down the street and I'm like, overly dressed, which I do. I overdress to walk the dogs. And so if I'm like walking down the street and I'm wearing something mad and fantastic, I will be stopped and complimented. And if I see somebody rocking some great look in this town, I'm like, I love that. No one, I don't believe anybody has ever said, you know, Britain is not a place where you go, looking good. You get taken off. I mean, you'd be literally
like,
you know,
say it to people.
Well, you're different. Can I just say, you're not the typical bird, are you? I think you should say it to other people. It's beautiful. You can be complimented by the guy sweeping the streets here, right? He'll say, looking good, baby.
Aww.
And you're like,
Thanks, sweetheart.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, but if I was in any other place where a man said that to me, I'd be like, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. You'd be like slightly like, oh, it's a bit creepy. Oh, creepy. No, this is like everybody here is like, everybody calls you baby anyway. Everybody's just like, hey, baby. Everybody's like doing this. And so there's a certain kind of, it's very indulgent and warm and kind, and eccentricity and flamboyancy is really appreciated. Really, it is. It's, you know,
you
that's
know,
it.
I've got something to tell you about red lipstick, which I think this is so interesting. I'll tell you this in a sec. When you looked back at videos of you being Lady J, and you saw your mum, remind me, did you go in to create the look to look like your mum, or that was just this incredible? No, you didn't. No. And you've also said your dad's on stage with you.
Yeah, my dad introduced me to all this music. My dad is the reason that I know all of this music and that I had these women as my role models. And so I feel like I've said it before, it feels like I'm holding their hands when I'm on stage, which is so, so dear. And
but that's so childlike
and
again.
Unexpected and moving. Yeah, it isn't is so it? Childlike. Because, you know, we stop developing emotionally when traumatic things happen in our lives. You know, we all do. There's a moments for, unless you're okay and you've got through and it's been fine. But, you know, that's why I say it's 14 is where I just that was it. And so I'm not, I don't feel sad about any of that. I mean, that's who I am and I'm very grateful for it. I always remember looking at my dad and thinking he's the most youthful person I've ever seen in my entire life. He is so much fun. He's so joyful. He's got such a young spirit. And I wanted to be like that. I wanted to have what he had. And I'm so grateful that I've never lost touch with that child place in me. I mean, musicians, there's this great joke about a kid that says to their parents, hey, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a musician. And like they say, well, you can't be both.
Oh my God, I would totally high five that. That is so brilliant.
Yeah. And the truth is, like, you know, we're playing. Listen to the word. We're playing. That's what we do. And that's why musicians are so unbelievably, beautifully, irresponsibly, gorgeously youthful people, because we get to play. And I'm in the mindset that I'd like everybody to get to play more, you know, and not in a way that is, not in a way that seems like overt and unnecessary, makes you feel bad. I just want to encourage people, let their hair down. It's why I really would like one of these days to make sure, to make it an absolute that if you come to see a Lady J show, if you come to see me in the Gentleman Callers, you've got to dress. I want it to be like Sound of the Music, where you do the sing-along.
I love
the Rocky
this.
Horror. I want you to come. And women can, you know, you can cross dress. I don't care
this.
What the hell you want to do, but I want people to turn up. I want them to rock up in their suits and their glam and their stuff and their clothes and their hats, and to make it a special moment. Because hell, if I see one more audience that looks like they've gone to a camping store, I mean, I'm just like, I can't. I stole that from Rob Brydon, my dear friend Rob Brydon, who said that in his show. It literally. I was watching his show in the Palladium, and it looked like everybody had gone to the camping shop. It was just like, you're at the Palladium,
people. It's the Palladium,
sweetheart. The Palladium.
Do you want me,
sweetheart? So,
do you want me to sing on stage with you? Yes or no? I can't remember what you said before.
I think it's a negative,
right.
That one, because you're too much, and I'd be worried that you'd distract from me.
I want to tell you something interesting about red lipstick, because I think this, I never knew this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, go on.
No,
this
is mad. This is how powerful red lipstick can be, right? Elizabeth, I'm reading it out. Elizabeth Arden herself handed out red lipsticks to New York City women in the 1912 suffragette march. What? And during World War II, red lipstick became patriotic because Hitler reportedly hated it, and women proudly wore their victory red as a big middle finger to him. It's that, yeah, isn't that incredible?
All this time I've been just like giving the finger to Hitler.
You
I love
it.
That. I didn't know either of those things, and that's extraordinary, to be quite honest with you. That is extraordinary. I say, when people say to me, you know, what tricks, you know, what do you do? What can I do? And it's like, listen, that's what I mean about the dress-up box. Experiment, like you did when you were a kid. You know, put the lips on. Put the lipstick on before you go out. Try something different. Try something you would normally do with your hair. Do something. Be bold. Be fearless. Try a hat. Don't be scared of stuff. Don't think you're not the kind of person that wears this or that. You know, just try it. Just try it. And find those things. Find those things that make you feel great, like, you know, like walking out the house with a great slash of red lipstick.
Even just wearing colour. I can't believe I've just said that in a...
Oh, yeah.
What was that show called? What was the Trini and Susanna thing?
Oh, What Not to Wear.
Do you know what I mean? Splash of colour. I never wear colour, although I started to wear colour and I kind of like the boost.
You know, if you spend your life wearing, and it's easy for me to say all these things. I'm an entertainer. You know, I'm given carte blanche to wear whatever the hell I want and be accepted for it. But I didn't used to be that person either. So don't think that I've always been like over, you know, overdressing and overdoing. I was a wear all black for the longest time. I've been a very monochrome person. And look at me now. You know, I'm wearing these like, color and hats and suits and everything is like is an extension of how I want to, you know, how I want to be seen in the world. And I think that's what you got to think about. How do you want to be seen in life? When you walk in the room, how do you want to be? Do you want to hide in a corner and not be noticed? Or do you actually want to walk in and to light the room up? Do you want to be that? That's, I guess, the question is like, who do you want to be? How do you want to exist? I always say, you know, the only thing you'll remember in life when you get to that point where you look back on it is all the things you didn't get to do, all the stuff you wish you could have done. And I think for so many of us, it's not being that bit braver to maybe your complete self, your absolute self, whether, again, you know, don't be dressing for anybody else, dress for you. And don't be thinking that somebody's going to look at you and go, oh, good grief, what are you wearing? Who cares? Cares if it makes you feel good, rock it.
You know your wig woman, what was her name?
Fifi Mahoney. That's actually the name of the shop, yeah. But the one that owns it, Marcy, yeah. Is phenomenal.
Does Marcy do the merkin at the Fifi shop?
No, but they would make you a merkin if you needed one that badly. No, they would. I know they've made merkins there, by the way, because I've seen merkins like crews of, you know, crew and Mardi Gras with a K. I've seen merkins on display. So they do exist. I wouldn't rock a merkin, personally.
No. Got other things going on. Let me say goodbye. That's it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to end on that note. I am. I apologise. You know when Etta James did that with the microphone? Did the microphone emerge? Yeah. Avec Merkit. Do you know what? This is cheap. That's it for this episode. I apologise. We'll be back next week with another. Huge thanks to you for listening. I'm speeding through because I'm embarrassed. And to you, lovely Judith, for making this oral joy possible. Don't forget to come on and get us next week and to follow and give the series a review. Unapologetically, Judith Owen is produced by Pineapple Audio Production. We'll see you next time. I am so sorry. Come on and get